Ramiro.
We're holding on Ayin Dalet, Omer Aleph, the sixth line. The last thing we learned was that when we have one person is chasing after another with intent to kill him, a roidif, then you're allowed to kill the roidif. But instead, the last thing we learned was Rabbi Yonasan and Ben Shaul said that you have to try to first see if it's possible to wound him or injure him or otherwise prevent him that way. So and Rabbi Yonasan and Ben Shaul had actually said that if it would be possible to save the would-be victim by injuring the roidif, and instead of injuring him, you killed him, then Rabbi Yonasan and Ben Shaul said nerag olav, that would be reason enough for the person, the third party, to actually be himself executed by Beis Din because he killed somebody when he shouldn't have. So the Gemara says, my time with Rabbi Yonasan and Ben Shaul. So why does Rabbi Yonasan and Ben Shaul say that? Dichtiv, the pasuk describes yachdav. It doesn't actually say yachdav in the pasuk, but whatever. The pasuk describes in Parshas Mishpatim, two people are fighting, and one of them hits a pregnant woman and causes her to miscarry. So the pasuk says that he has to pay dmei vlodis. He has to pay the value of the babies. We figure out how much she would have been worth. Suppose she were to have been sold as a slave woman when she's pregnant, where then the owner is going to have babies as well, who can use as avodim versus not, and he pays the difference. Now, Rabbi Lozer explains that the pasuk is not just talking about these two people are fighting stamazoi. We're talking about one of them is actually intending to kill the other. Matzus, so he's actually intending to kill. And by mistake, he hit the pregnant woman. Because the pasuk continues, first it says if there's no osin, meaning if the woman herself survives and just she miscarries, then he pays dmei vlodis. But then it continues, v'im osin yir, if there is an osin, if there's a death, then v'nasata nefesh tachas nefesh, and he takes that to mean that it means that the person is actually executed for the fact that he killed this woman. Now the Gemara is going to revisit this in the next perek and see that it's actually not so simple. There are different opinions about that, whether in fact he'd be chayav misa in that case, but Rabbi Lozer is taking it in that way. Now, and yet the Torah is telling us that if there was no osin, if she doesn't die, then he pays a monetary penalty. Now, if you're going to tell me, like Rabbi Yonasan Ben Shaul says, that when it's possible to wound him rather than killing him, then a third party has to do that rather than kill him, well, then fine. Then we understand. Why would he be chayev to pay? Why wouldn't we say kom libedirabimine, as the Gemara had said before? And the reason is kiven sheyochol lahatzol be'echad me'evorav, because the scenario is where it's possible to wound him and prevent him from killing the other person or the woman, as the case may be. So therefore, there's no chiyuv misa involved. Therefore, you can say there's tashlumin involved. But if you're going to say that even though it would be possible to wound him, nevertheless, we say we don't have to worry about that. We can just go and kill him outright. Well, then in that case, then what's the scenario where he should be punishable with a monetary fine? He shouldn't, because then we should say, so therefore, Rabbi Yonasan Ben Shaul uses that to prove his din, that you are obligated to, where possible, to try to wound him, and only if you can't, then you can kill him. So therefore, that means, in other words, there's not automatically misa involved, there's not automatically kom lebedirabimine involved, and therefore that would be the scenario where the Torah says, so now, if he kills her, then he's chayav misa, but if he doesn't kill her, then that's when he's paying the monetary penalty. There's a machlok as well. So Rabbi Yonasan Ben Shaul had said this point. The Chachamim, we said, in the previous part of the Gemara had been discussing the point that there's a Mishnah in Masechet Ksubos that describes where you have a knas, where there's a knas for Onus and Mefata, and among the cases over there where the girl was his sister. Now the question was that if Nitin Latzila Benafshei, if this is a Chayve Krisis, is one of the ones that we learned before, that Nitin Latzila Benafshei, so why is he paying a knas? Why don't we say Kom Libedid Abimineh? So one of the answers, the last answer that the Gemara had given, Abaya's answer, was that this is that Mishnah is specifically according to Rabbi Yonasan Ben Shaul. The Chachamim, meanwhile, would disagree with that and say that you're allowed to kill him regardless whether Yochel Lahatzel or not. So now Rabbi Yonasan Ben Shaul is proving his point from this case of the one where they hit the pregnant woman. So now,
if a roidif hurts him, not actually kills him,
if the roidif
person that is
if the,
to
we're
kill.
talking about a roidif who's chasing after somebody else with intent to kill.
No, I'm saying if he doesn't kill the actual guy,
if he doesn't, if he, we're talking about he's running after him to kill him. We don't know whether he's going to kill him yet. Now you, a third party, have a responsibility, as the Gemara had learned before, from Lysamar al Damreyecha and from Vashe Voiseloi, that you have a mitzvah to get involved, and from Ve'in Moshi Allah, that you have a mitzvah to get involved. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara says, why? Maybe that's not a solid proof. Maybe you know why. In this case, he should be chayav payment, because after all, the misa is regarding one person and the payment is regarding another. Because after all, the money, the fact that he'd be chayav misa is because he was intending to kill the other person. And again, this is following the opinion, which we're going to learn about in the next parak, that if he's intending to kill, that if he's intending to kill one person and instead he kills another one, then he would actually be chayav misa. So the mumen is as a result of that he planned that he was trying to kill one person. The mumen, meanwhile, is the fact that he has to pay the woman's husband. So therefore, so kum leibed av mineh doesn't apply in that case. Only when the misa and the tashlumen are as a result of the same person. So therefore, maybe you could say there's no proof that you that where you could prevent him by wounding, where you can stop him by wounding him, you have to do that. Maybe in fact you can always kill him, but nevertheless, kum leibed av mineh does not apply because it's misa to one and tashlumen to the other. The answer is loy shna. The Gemara says there's no difference in that regard because the fact is it doesn't matter whether the tashlumin are to the same person or a different person. Either way, kum leibed av mineh will apply. And therefore, again, if we're going to say that in the case of the man with the of the two men who are fighting and the pregnant woman, that he's going to have to pay, it doesn't matter. There, practically speaking, it is misa lozeh v'tashlumin lozeh, but it wouldn't matter. Even if it was misa v'tashlumin lozeh, it would still say kum leibed av mineh. D'amar Rava, roidef shoyer roidef acha chaveira. If one person is chasing after somebody else with intent to kill him, or not just kill him. We learned in the Mishnah also if there's arayas involved, if he's running after another man to do mishkav zachar, if he's running after a woman to a naira marosso or a naira marosso, any case of arayas that a chris or missus based in. So in all those cases, v'shibir as hakelim. If the roidif during his pursuit breaks kalim, ben shal nirdaf or ben shal kol adam, whether they belong to the nirdaf, to the person he's chasing after, or whether they belong to anybody else, potter, that he's potter from paying, my time is chayiv benafshehu, because he's chayiv for his own life. So kamalei b'dinam aminei. On the other hand, on the other hand, if the nirdaf, if the would-be victim, if he ends up in his flight, while he's running away, he ends up breaking kalim of the roidif, potter, then he's potter, as we'll explain in a second, shokol adam chayev. But if he breaks kalim that belong to other people, then he will be chayev. Shol roidif potter, the logic is, you can't say that the roidif's mammon should be more stringent than his goof. His goof itself, the nirdaf or any other person, would be entitled to kill him. So therefore, you can't say that his mammon is more serious, and therefore that the nirdaf should have to pay for that mammon. Shokol adam chayev, on the other hand, if it belongs to somebody else, to a third party, then the nirdaf will be chayev to pay for it, shematzalatzim mammon chaveri, because he saved himself using somebody else's mammon. So it's not to say that he can't. Now there is actually, there's a relevant gemara about this in Bava Kama, that talks about these dinim of matzalatzu and mamon chaveroi, whether in fact he can do it. So one way of looking at it is, sure, he could do it. It's a matter of pikuach nefesh. He's allowed to save himself. The Gemara over there is not necessarily talking about a case of actual pikuach nefesh, but here it's a clear matter of pikuach nefesh. So therefore, for sure, he is allowed to save himself, but he's not obligated to be moser nefesh for it, the Rosh points out. However, the fact is, he is going to have to pay afterwards because he doesn't have a right to, because the fact is he saved himself with somebody else's money. But on the other hand, if he broke the roidif's kalim, then again, since he's allowed to kill him, then for sure he's allowed to break his kalim in the course of it. Tosfos spells that out. In other words, since nitin latzila benafshei kol shekin, how much more so that he's allowed to save himself with the roidif's mammon and not have to pay for it. On the other hand, the roidif show your roidif acha roidif latziloi. Now, what happens? You have Reuven the roidif, Shimon the would-be victim, and you have Levi who now is chasing after Reuven in order to save Shimon. The shibir as hakelim. If now Reuven in that pursuit, if now Levi rather Levi the savior, if he breaks kalim in the pursuit, ben shor roidif, ben shor nirdif, ben shor kol adam, whether it belongs to the roidif, the nirdif, or anybody else, potter, then he will be potter from pain. Now, it's not that technically it should be that way. The fact is, he did commit a nezek. He should be chayiv. But the reason is, the problem is that if you don't say that, nimsa, it's going to come out. Nobody's ever going to, not nobody, but sometimes a person may hold back from saving, from trying to get the roidif, because he's going to think to himself, if I break something on the way, then I'm going to end up being chayev, and therefore I don't want to, and therefore I don't want to do that. So therefore, the chachamim patered him in order to encourage him so that he's not discouraged from coming and saving. So as a practical matter, for example, let's say so this comes up in areas of pikuach nefesh. Let's say, for example, a Hatzolah vehicle goes in and causes it. No, Shabbos is something else, but we're talking about if they accidentally cause damage based on the Gemara, they may be potter from paying. Okay. So the Gemara goes on. Now the Mishnah had said Aval ha-roidefach ha-behema, but we said that so the Mishnah had said the rules are as follows: when can you save the roidef? When can you kill the roidef in order to prevent the avera? And we talked about yesterday. Does this mean that it was the expression latziloi to save the would-be victim, or latziloi to save the roidef himself from doing the avera? Tosfos had pointed out that the Gemara may mean latzilo benafshe, may mean that you save him from doing the avera. However, the Mishnah had said the rules for that are as follows. Only if we're talking about either he's chasing somebody else with intent to kill, or, as we said, various kinds of arayas. So we said, Naira Mairasa, Zhur. Zhur means a man.
No,
yeah. So that would be considered. We live with the Gemara derived it from Sukkim. So it includes a Naira Mairasa, it includes a Zhur, it includes any other case of Chayve Krisis or Mrs. Bastin. The Gemara had explained why we needed the Gemara. We learned yesterday why it needed to mention, why it needed to spell out Naira, Moser, and Schur. Those are included in Mrs. Bastin. So
something was like done.
No, we're not talking about he did it yet. We're talking about he's going to.
I'm saying was something that was I'm saying was
it exists, you know. Okay. People have a Yetzirah for it. No. Anyway, the Gemara had talked about why it is that you need a posuk, why you need to spell out Zechor and Naira Ma'arasa if they're included in Mrs. Bastin. So the Gemara had just dealt with all that point before. In any case, the point is, now the Mishnah had said, however, if he's chasing after a behemoth to commit bestiality with it, or he's going to break Shabbos or worship Avodah Zarah, Ein Matzil and Oisin Benafsh, the Mishnah had said, we do not save them at the cost of their lives, meaning, if the guy ends up going and doing that with the behemoth, or going and worshiping Avodah Zarah or whatever, fine, we'll have Edim, we'll give him Asura, we'll do the usual thing, but you don't have the right to kill him to prevent him from doing the Avera. Now, the Gemara says not everybody agrees to that. Tanya, Reb Shimon Yochai Omer, how oivid Avodah Zechavim nitin latzila benafshem mekavachomer. Reb Shimon Yochai says you can make a kavachomer, that somebody who worships Avodah Zarah, you're allowed to save him at the cost of his own life to prevent him from worshiping Avodah Zarah. Mekavachomer. One second. Umak gam hediyet nitin latzila benafshay. Madach, when he's causing a blemish in a hediyet. So we talked about why is it that he's allowed, why is it we're allowed to save him from raping a naira marasa, is because there's a pagam involved. He's causing a blemish in her where now she's losing her psulim, and now she's and now she's not going to be as choviv to her husband.
She's an
osu. She's an osu, but nevertheless, there's still a pagam. There's still it still affects her relationship with her chosen. Anyway, whatever. We said that in that case, such a thing is allowed. Mm-hmm. So Rav Shimon Yochai says, so if we're making a pgam in a hediyot, in a regular person, then you're able to save him. You're able to save him by preventing him from doing that. Pgam gavoya like kol shekhen. How much more so when you're talking about causing a blemish, so to speak, against Hashem. Now the Yad Ramah adds a point. I mean, you could say that they're your oisa by maisa, but the fact is, here we're talking about you're doing avodah zarah. He's doing avodah zarah, and therefore that would be considered more stringent. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai uses that kavachomer to say that you could kill him to prevent him from worshiping avodah zarah. So the Gemara asks, since when do we punish somebody based on a kavachomer? As we're going to learn at the beginning of the next parak, we're actually going to learn at the beginning of the next parak that there is a discussion about that. It's not so simple to make a kavachomer and say on that basis that somebody should be chayav misi. You can't necessarily do that. We're going to have a discussion, Abaya and Rava, about that.
Yes.
So over 1 second. So over here, so how could you do that? The answer is Kosava Oinshin Min Adin. Reb Shimon Yochai doesn't have a problem with that. He holds that Oinshin Min Adin. With that said, though, so a couple of things in that regard. I mean, first of all, a couple of the Achronim, the Noda Behuda, the Orach HaNer, point out, wait a minute, why is this considered an Oinesh? An Oinesh would be something that's done by Beis Din. Here we're talking about to save the would-be victim. After all, we learned previously in the Gemara that we learned on Ayin Beis and Beis. You can have a cotton who's a roidif and you're allowed to kill him, even though you're not doing it with das. So you can't really call it an oinish. So the answer is this. So the Noda Yehuda gives an answer that fine. Nevertheless, the Gemara had discussed in that sugya on Ayin Beis and Beis and explained that it is a form of oinish. So Rav Huna had said the din that a cotton or roid, if you can save him because you can prevent him from doing it, because ain't it sort of chasra, but Rav Chista had asked about that and said that on the face of it, it is an oinish. So Gemara is asking according to that point. The Noda Behuda also, by the way, gets into a discussion. Tosfos mentions over here that there are actually two different kinds of oinshin min adin. There are two kinds of thing when we talk about a kavachomer. that's being used to define an oinish. There's actually two different ways of understanding, the two different types of Kal Vachomers in that regard, but Tosfos is not so clear what the distinction is, and the Noda Behoda actually has a discussion in one of his Truvas on the subject and says that it seems that we need to correct the wording of Tosfos because they're being a little bit obscure about what they mean about the difference between the different Kal Vachomers when Reb Shimon Yochai would say Oin Shimon Adin and when not. So the Gemara goes on. Tanya Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon Omer Hamachalos haShabbos Nitin Latzila b'Nafshei. Not only that, but if a person is going to break Shabbos, then Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon says also you can kill him to prevent him from doing that. Why? Where does he get that from? Savala Kavur De'omo Ein Shimon Adin. First of all, he holds like his father Rabbi Shimon, who holds that we can punish based on a kavachomer. So the given that so we can make that kavachomer that the pagam of a hedyot allows you to kill him. How much more so a pagam to Hashem? And then so he follows that. Va'astia Then he has a gzeira shava on the word chilul, where by mechalolehem mois yumas by Shabbos and v'lois chalol as shema lekecha by moilech, and therefore and then therefore you have a gzeira shava. He says that therefore Shabbos is included is included as well.
Any avodah of someone that is
What?
eager to kill him?
Say what?
Any
Not any
avodah?
Avera. So according to the Chachamim, it's only Ritzeach and Viviri and certain kinds of Arayas, the ones that are Christus or Mrs. Bastian. According to Reb Shimon, also Avodah Zarah. According to Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, also Chilul Shabbos. The halacha is not like Reb Shimon or Reb Elazar Reb Shimon. So the halacha is like the Chachamim, only Ritzeach, Naira Maurasa, and Zuhur, and the various other kinds of Christus or Mrs. Bastian. Mind you, I mean, I mean, there is the point. There is the point. Mefarshim point out that this pasuk v'lois chalos shema lekecha is talking about moilach, where we learned before. Actually, we learned
Right.
previously on Daf Samach Daled that according to Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, moilach is not in and of itself an avodah zarah.
You get the fish from
It is chayiv karis, but it's still not full-fledged avodah zarah. Nevertheless, though, nevertheless, my show explains that basically it's a even according to Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon, it may not be full-fledged avodah zarah, but at least it's a zrayu. It's at least it's an outgrowth of avodah zarah. It's still a kochavim. It can still be called in a more general way avodah zarah. It's not maybe strictly speaking because it's definitely in that category. Fine. So now the Gemara says, okay, so now having talked about the cases where you can kill a roidif, so now let's talk about let's talk about a case. The cases where a person has to be moser nefesh not to commit averis. Amr Rabbi Yechon Meshum Rabbi Shimon Yehid Tzadok Nimnu V'Gomru Baal Dias Beitis Nitzeh Balud. The Chachamim voted and they decided in the second floor of the house of Nitzeh in Lud. This Nitzeh was a Yid who lived in Lud. He had a big house where the Chachamim would gather. We find other places in Shas also where it says the Chachamim would gather there. In general, in those times, the Aliyah, the second floor of a house, was like the main gathering area of the house. It would be like the living room or the main dining room or something of the house. So the Chachamim gathered there for an official gathering in his in the
Quite
second floor of
busy.
his house, and they voted and decided the following halacha: Kol averus shebatorah im omrim la'adam aver v'al tahareg, all averus in the Torah. If Goyim tell a person do the Avera and don't get killed, in other words, if you don't do what we tell you, then you will be killed. Yaver Val Yehorig, in most cases he should violate it and not be killed. So with those three exceptions, but any other now there is a big machloikas. There is a famous machloikas in this between the Rambam and Tosfos and other Rishonim. Is a person allowed to be moser nefesh outside of these three? According to the Rambam, absolutely not. According to the Rambam, a person can only be moser nefesh for these three and for Shas HaShmad, as the Gemara is going to go point as Parhesia and Shas HaShmad, as the Gemara is going to go on and point out. And according to the Rambam, if he's moser nefesh for anything outside of those, then he's mischayev benafshe, then he's guilty for his own death, and he's not getting a reward from the Eibishter for it. Fakir, he's considered like he committed suicide. Tosfos and many other Rishonim disagree with the Rambam on that and say a person is allowed to be moser nefesh on such things. He's not required to, but he is allowed to. Unfortunately, there were many examples. There were many examples in Jewish history where people did follow Tosfos in that, and they did in fact do it. We have examples in the Gemara. We have, for example, Rabbi Akiva teaching Torah publicly, and Rabbi Chanina ben Tradin as well. That's different. That was a Shas HaShmad. Even the Rambam would agree that kind of thing is allowed.
And
But
Daniel,
what?
he did not
Daniil, not
make
so.
that.
So Daniil. So
I
one
got
argument you could say as far as Daniil.
yeah,
First,
but he didn't get killed.
hold on. With Daniil, there was a few possibilities. One possibility is that it may have been considered a shas hashmad as well, because they're making a general law not to daven to Hashem. So, like, they're trying to
Right.
outlaw Yiddishkeit. Another way of looking at it, though, is that Daniil. Another way of looking at it is that sometimes, even though there are mefarshim who explain that even the Rambam might agree that an exceptional tzaddik, when he sees that there's a certain mitzvah that people are not being so careful with, then he's allowed to go on Mesiras Nefesh to make a public example of it. And a third possibility, though, is that Bichlal, that Daniil did not even know that he's making himself chayiv misa. In fact, the Malbim, analyzing the psukim over there, the Malbim explains that actually Daniil held,
And it's
he
part of it.
considered that what he's doing is not violating the king's law. The king's law is if you have a specific request, then you have to ask it to Daryavish rather than he didn't consider, he understood the law not to be outlawing davening to Hashem or Lahavdil to whatever in general, but if a person has a specific request, then he should. He's not, in other words, if a person until now has not needed something and now he needs something, then he should go to Daryavish. That was supposed to be the law. But Daniil figured, since he's been davening all this time, he's been davening for years and years, three times a day, then he held it's not included in the Gezeirah in the first place, and therefore he wasn't knowingly going on Mesiras Nefesh. He went home and davened, figuring that that's not included in the law. But the ministers over there convinced Daryavish to include that in the law as well.
Wasn't the law not eating kosher?
No, the law was not to daven. The law was not
Not
to
a
that
daven.
anybody who has a request for the next 30 days should ask it to Daryavish. No,
So
you're
what?
thinking of Daniil with the
Then they
kosher
don't do
food.
that.
They weren't. They it wasn't a question of that they're going to be liable to miss it for it.
First of all, didn't.
At the beginning of Sefer Daniil, when they tell the waiter over there, they ask the person in charge of their food to give them kosher food. He tells them, I'm gonna get my head chopped off because he's gonna find that you're weak. They tell him, try us out for 10 days. Their lives weren't gonna be in danger. His life
His
was
life
gonna
was
be in
in danger.
danger. So therefore, so it's not an issue. Yeah. Okay, onward.
Yeah.
Okay, so they want to ask about is kachavim loy? You're telling me that a person is not that a person should yehorek val yaver for avodah zarah, that he's not allowed to worship it. V'hatanya, but we learn in a brisa. Omer Rabbi Shmuel, minayin shim omer lo la'odom avodah avodah kachavim val tehoreg. How do we know that if they tell a person worship avodah zarah and don't be killed, minayin sheyaved va'al yehoreg? How do we know that he should worship it and should not be killed? Therefore, the pasuk says you should live with Torah, you should live with the mitzvahs, and not die with them. Then Rabbi Shmuel continues, you would think that this applies even in public. Therefore, the pasuk says, don't desecrate my holy name, and I should be made holy. So when it's in public, then it would make a chilul Hashem to worship avodah zarah, and then Rabbi Shmuel agrees that you have to be mekadosh Hashem. But Rashi says, he makes a kiddush Hashem by being moser nefesh to show how much he loves Hashem, that he's not going to exchange him for anything else, chas v'shalom. But the point is, according to the Chachamim in the attic in the second floor of Aliyas Beis Nitzah, they're saying that you have to be moser nefesh always for avodah zarah, even b'tzina, even in private. Whereas according to Rabbi Shmuel, he's learning from the pasuk that you're only in public. So on what basis are the Tanoim disagreeing? Now, fine, they're Tanoim, they're able to disagree with
Right.
him, but he's bringing a pasuk. So what do they do with that pasuk?
I mean, that's good. The Rambam doesn't say that 10 people you meant to
Ten people we'll get
do.
to later. That's the
Okay.
we'll get to later. Yeah. The answer is in Hudu Amar Kedabla Yezer. The answer is that they are following, in this regard, they're following the opinion of Rabbi Yezer. Tanya, where Rabbi Eliezer also has a pasuk on his side. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, ve'ahavta es Hashem alekecha b'chol levav, b'chol nafsh, b'chol ma'idecha. You should love Hashem with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, with all b'chol ma'idecha, which means your money. Im nema b'chol nafsh, lama nema b'chol ma'idecha, ve'im nema b'chol nema ma'idecha, lama nema b'chol nafsh. Why does it have to mention both your soul, which means your life, and your ma'idecha, which means your money? The reason is im yesh l'cha adam shegufay chavav alav mamayne, because you have a person, one kind of person whose guf is more precious to him than his money. L'chach nema b'chol nafshecha. Therefore, the Torah is telling you have to love Hashem and go on Mesiras Nefesh, even if it means that your body is going to be taken away, and even if you're going to be killed. But then you might have a person whose mammon is more precious to him than his guf. Now, fine. I mean, we could be talking about. And maybe it's not so normal to be that way, but the fact is the Torah needs to cover all possible cases. The Nemuka Yosef explains, in other words, listen, you don't want to give any excuse for a person to say, yeah, but I consider my money to be more important. Therefore, therefore the Torah says with all your money that a person should be willing to give up all his money rather than worship Avodah Zarah. So the point is, Rebbe Eliezer is learning from this, is learning from this pasuk that yes, a person has to be moiser nefesh to love Hashem, meaning not to worship avodah zarah. In fact, the Avnei Nezer points out an interesting point in this regard. In general, why do we need a special limud by avodah zarah? In general, a person has to be moiser, has to be ready to give up all his money, not to be over on any lois esse. An esse you have, there's a limit. The Gemara mentions elsewhere, but a lois esse, there's no such limit. And the answer is because when it comes to avodah zarah, earlier in the Masechta, we learned there can be a case of a person who worships avodah zarah me'avo me'yira, because of out of love or fear of another person. So therefore, you would think Rava had said it's not considered avodah zarah. He's not chayiv misa for that. So you would think maybe he's allowed to, and therefore we need to be told he's not allowed to, and he still needs to be most of all his money for it. Anyway, the point is that therefore the Chachamim and Aliyas Beis Nitzah are following that opinion of Rebbe Eliezer and saying that and saying therefore a person does have to be most of nefesh for avodah zarah, regardless whether it's unlike Rabbi Shmuel who said only b'fahesya also b'tzina. Okay. That takes care of avodah zarah. Gilad ra'ayus to shfichus damim. Where are they getting that from? That a person has to be moser nefesh for the other two, for gilad ra'ayus and shfichus damim as well. Tosfos points out. Tosfos points out. There's a long Tosfos on Amud Beis that discusses this whole sugya. And fine, Rabbi Shmuel does agree by Gila Arayis and Shvichus Damim for the reasons that the Gemara is going to give. But the Gemara is still wondering. Still, the fact is, it says V'chai Bahem. Why shouldn't we say that maybe all mitzvahs are included in V'chai Bahem? Why indeed does Rabbi Shmuel hold and the other Chachamim also hold that Gila Arayis and Shvichus Damim are not in the category of V'chai Bahem? And the reason is Kedir Rebbe. The reason is based on what, as far as Avodah Zarah and Shfichus Damim is based on what Rebbe says. D'tanya, Rebbe Omer, we learned this previously. The Pasuk says, the Pasuk describes in the case of a Naira Marasa who is being raped, Ki, where we had the Pasuk before that somebody has to try to save her if possible. Anyway, the Pasuk said, Ki kasha yokum isha re'ehu or etzoche nefesh. It's just like when one person stands up against somebody else to kill him, and kills him, Kein adavar azeh, so is this matter. So in the simple sense, in other words, the Pasuk is telling us that she's not guilty and she's not liable to any punishment because she was forced, in the same way as a person is not chai of anything where he's killed. But the question is, what exactly do we need to learn from the Retzeach? We already know the Pasuk says that she has no guilt that makes her guilty of misa or anything like that. So why do we need the comparison to Retzeach? It seems like it's coming to learn, but instead we learn from it. In other words, it makes it sound. The Pasuk is said, it sounds like the Pasuk is saying, you want to understand the case of the Naira Mayrosa and why she's not guilty, because it's like the case of somebody who was murdered. But really it's the other way around, that we're actually learning from the Naira Mayrosa to the Retzeach. Makish Ritzeach, Naira Marasa, we have a Hekish. Ma Naira Marasa Nitin Latzila B'Nafshei. Just like with Naira Marasa, you can save him from the Aveira by killing him, as we learned before from the fact that it says Ve'in Moshi Allah, that nobody saved her, implying that if somebody was able to save her, then he has to save her. In fact, I mentioned yesterday something that the Meshech Chochma says on that. The word Moshiach, generally speaking, means to actually kill the person who's causing the danger. So therefore, like Vayosha Hashem, Vayemahu, Hashem killed the Mitzrayim. So therefore, so that implies that he has to kill. So therefore, just like by the Naira Marasa, Af Ritzeach, Nitin Latzila B'Nafshei, so it is by Ritzeach. And then the Hekesh works the other way around too. Umakish, Naira Marasa, L'Ritzeach. The Naira Marasa in turn is compared to Ritzeach. Ma Ritzeach, Yehorig Val Yav, Af Naira Marasa, Tehorig Val Tavur. Just like with the Ritzeach, he has to allow himself to be killed rather than kill somebody else, as the Gemara is going to explain in a second. The Svara of that, the same way, the Naira Marasa has to allow herself to be killed. Now, Tosfos on Amud Beis discusses that it's not so simple, the Girsa over here, Tehorig. The Girsa may actually be Yehorig, that the person, the man, is Chayev to be Moser Nefesh rather than have relations with a Naira Marasa, because he's the active one. With him, you have a maisa in kishu yelo ladas. For her, the Gemara is going to talk about on Amud Beis, there's a concept called karka olam, that she is passive in that. So therefore, not necessarily is she chayiv to be moser nefesh. So Tosfos says, maybe the girsa here is supposed to be yehorig. If it's tehorig, then it means we're talking about where she's actually doing something active to make it happen. Then instead, she would have to be moser nefesh to prevent that from being done. So that's what we learn from the comparison to Ritzeach. Well, Ritzeach gufa minolon. In turn, where do we know by the Ritzeach himself that that's the case, that he's chayev to be moser nefesh rather than kill somebody else? And the answer is svarahu. That we learn from a svara. As we find the case of a person who came in front of Rabbah, the various other places in Shas where it brings the story, it actually says Rava. So that's probably the correct gear over here. But anyway, so this person came to Rabbah or Rava. But Omale tells him, Omale Mori Duroi, the master of my village, meaning the mayor of my village or my town, who was a goy, tells me, Zil Katli Laplanya, go kill Ploini, the Eloi, and if not, Katil Nalach, then I will kill you. So Reuven is being told by the Goyish mayor, go kill Shimon, and if not, then I'm going to kill you. So Reuven came to Rava with the Shiloh, what should I do?
What should they let me say
That's what we're going to explain.
oh
Omalei, so you didn't know. He
know
needs to ask a shayla. Omalei, so Rava tells him, look, the luch of loitikto. You should allow yourself to be killed rather than you kill that other yid. Me yema the domadi dach sumak tvei, who says that your blood is redder, meaning more precious to Hashem, Dilma domadau hu gavra sumak tvei, maybe that other person's blood is redder. In other words, the point is, in other words, like this, Rashi says, the whole point of V'chai Baham is we don't want a Yiddish life to be lost unnecessarily. So therefore, most of the time, we're going to allow a person to be over instead of that is that a Yiddish life should be lost. But here, a Yiddish life is going to be lost anyway. Because one way or the other, either Reuven is going to be killed or Shimon. So therefore, so you're not gaining anything. There's no v'chai b'hem. So therefore, Rabbah or Rava is telling him in this case, then that exception of v'chai b'hem, then that rule of v'chai b'hem does not apply. And therefore, given that one way or the other, either you or Shimon are going to be killed, if you kill Shimon,
Then what to
the
do?
point is, yes, you're thinking you're accomplishing v'chai b'hem, but the fact is that you're also another yid is dying because of you, and you can't do that. Therefore, you have to be ready to be moser nefesh to prevent that from happening.
What to do then? You, if someone points a gun and says kill him, or the government says someone to kill you, to kill someone else.
Okay, one second. If the government sends, if the government, if the mayor himself was going to go kill Shimon, if you can prevent the
Oh.
mayor from doing it, then by all means do that. But we're talking about the mayor is telling Reuven, I want you to go kill Shimon. So now Rava is telling him, you, Reuven,
Makes
cannot
sense.
do that. If the mayor himself wants to kill Shimon, look, you
Or,
may not be able to prevent him, but you, Reuven, cannot be
well,
the
I'm just thinking
instrument.
of myself. What about like,
This is what we're talking about, a Maisa.
no,
It's just.
I'm saying like. They couldn't like think of a plan to like take Sherman and like move him to a different country or
Okay,
something.
if he could do that, obviously that would be better. But yeah, the point is, if the only way out of it was
What
to
is
kill
his
Shimon, then
job?
he's not allowed to do that. I mean, there are exceptions to that. There are cases. It's called there was a case that it talks about in the Yerushalmi that Amman brings in Hilchos Yisod HaTorah called Yichadu Lahem Kesheva Ben Bichri. You have a case where the Goyim singled out a certain person where they consider him to be Chayav Misa. It's a big machloikas whether that means because he's guilty according to their laws, or do we mean just the fact that they mention him by name? There's a case involving Sheva Ben Bichri in Sefer Shmuel, and then Sefer Shmuel that there's a big machlokas in halacha about what the parameters of that are. Even that the Gemara mentions over there is not midas chasidus, but whatever. There are dinim about that. There are many many such cases came up for, as you can imagine, during the Holocaust. For example, there's
Right.
quite a few shilas atruvas from that. There's a 5-volume set of atruvas called shilas atruvas mimamakim. The author of it, Rabbi Ephraim Oshri, was a rav in Kovna. In the years of, he was a young Rav in Kovna when the war broke out. And during the war, people asked him many shilas about different things that were going on at that time, and he wrote them down. He buried it, and then after the war, they were able to safely get it back. And he published 5 volumes of Shilas HaTshuvos from that.
In the ground.
So many shilas, as you can imagine, from that came up from these kinds of things. Anyway, I was going to say that Tosfos on Amud Beis does talk about now where, for example, Reuven would be used passively in order to kill Shimon. That might be different. Tosfos gives the example. Let's say, for example, a goy is going to take a yid and throw him onto a child in order to crush the child and kill him. So Reuven is not actually doing anything. Then Tosfos says Reuven may not be required to go on Mesiras Nefesh for that because he's not actually doing anything. Here we're talking about that the mayor is telling him actually go be a dayim and kill the guy. Then Rava is telling him you're not allowed to do that. But where it's passive, then Tosfos says maybe it would be allowed. The Gemara goes on. So therefore, so that, so again, so
So
we
once
learn.
I was in, do you think the government would stump? Once
I
this
don't
guy
know
was
what
like
they
a
would do, but
guy,
it doesn't matter.
I don't
Anyway.
think the guy was deserved to be
Okay,
killed.
that's part of the machlokas of Yichadu Lehem, whether it means because he's Chayav Misa or just because they single him out by name. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
So the point is, Ritzeach we learn from that Svara. Naira Ma'arosa we learn from a Hekesh with Ritzeach. And Avodah Zarah, that was the Machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel and the Chachamim, Rabbi Shmuel and the other Chachamim, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yezer, about whether a person has to go on Mesiras Nefesh for Avodah Zarah. The Halacha, almost all the Poskim, Paskin like the Chachamim, that Avodah Zarah is Yehoreg Val Yaver.
What then? Why would they not tell? What was the
So the fact is, we have over here, we have the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel to the
how much?
contrary, which the Gemara, we have the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel to the contrary, which the Gemara was asking about. And there's a relevant Gemara in Avodah Zarah where Rava seems to say, like where Rava seems to say, like Rabbi Shmuel. So does that mean the halacha might conceivably be like Rabbi Shmuel? Tosfos actually says there, Chas v'Shalom, to say the halacha is like that. And Tosfos explains over there, Rava is just explaining a Braisa, so it doesn't contradict Rabbi Shmuel, but not that he actually holds that
Okay,
way.
so what's Rav Shmuel's reasoning?
Rabbi Shmuel's reasoning. We said
What's the
because we
reasoning?
said V'chai. Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, okay. So the Gemara goes on. Ki asid of Dimi Omer Rabbi Yechanan. When Rabbi Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he explained the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Lo shono ela shaloi b'shas gzeiros hamalchus. Everything we've said so far as the big three versus everything else, is only when there's not a gzeiros hamalchus. Older uncensored Gemaras, instead of the word gzeiros hamalchus over here, had the word shmad. A shmad means poshut, well, exactly as we know about, unfortunately, in Jewish history, where goyim have tried to outlaw Yiddishkeit entirely. So the censors, for some reason, didn't like that word and changed it to gzeiros hamalchus. Then, even if it's a minor mitzvah, then yehoreg val yaver, in order that the goyim should not get used to, Rashi says, you don't want the goyim to get used to soften up people's hearts and make them think that we can outlaw Yiddishkeit and the Jews will just go and violate their Torah. And then, in other words, it's going to encourage the goyim to do that again and again. Whereas if you go on Mesiras Nefesh, then they're going to realize they can't do that. They're not going to be. It's not going to work. They're too many of their citizens are going to end up killing themselves, and it's not going to work. So the
Chanukah is one of them.
Hanukkah is an example of a Shas HaShemadiah. My mitzvah kala, what do we mean by example of a light mitzvah? Omer Rav bar Rav Yitzchok, Omer Rav, afilu shanui aksud arkasa de mesana, even to change the type of shoelaces. So Rashi explains, if in a particular place the Jews wear their shoelaces in one way and the goyim in a different way, since there is a tzad yahadus badover, there's an angle of Judaism in the matter. It's a Derech Yisrael of being Tzniustik. So even this kind of thing, there's no mitzvah. It's only a minig ba'alma. Nevertheless, a person has to be Mekadosh Hashem. It's considered, and then it, and he has to be Moser Nefesh on it. So he has to be Moser Nefesh in front of other Jews. So that would apply. And so again, that applied. Sorry, you know what? One second. I skipped a couple of lines. I'm sorry. Sorry, I skipped a couple of lines at the bottom of Omer Aleph. He also Rovin Omer Rabbi Yechanan. When Rovin. So first, okay. So Rav Dimi had said that B'shas Gzeres Hamalchus B'shas Hashmad is different. Then Rovin added another detail. He also Rovin Omer Rabbi Yechanan. Afilu Shaloi B'shas Gzeres Hamalchus. Even when there's not Gzeres Hamalchus. Even when there's not a Shmad. Loi Omer Elabet Sina. This din that you have the big three, Avodah Zarah, Gilad, Arayis, and Shfichus Damim versus everybody else, would be only betzina, only where it's in private. Abba fahesia, but when it's in public, I feel a mitzvah kala, yahorig val yaver. Then even for a lighter mitzvah, yahorig val yaver. So there's two different things. In other words, there's a shmad that the goyim are trying to prevent the Jews from keeping mitzvahs entirely. So then you have to strengthen it so that as Rashi says, because you don't want the goyim to get used to the idea that they can do whatever they want as far as Yiddishkeit. And when it's b'fahesia, then you have a matter of chilul Hashem, and then it would be a chilul Hashem to do it, and therefore he has to be moser nefesh. So now my mitzvah kala in both of these dinim. What do we mean by mitzvah kala? Omer Rava bar Rav Yitzchok, Omer Rav, afilu l'shanuyei aksu d'mesana, even to change the type of shoelaces or the style of shoelaces. So again, Rashi explains. So let me. So Rashi explains that if they have the goyim wear their shoelaces in a certain way and Jews wear them in a different way, since there is tzad yahadus b'dover, there's an aspect of Judaism involved in this matter, and it's a derech of Jewish people to be tzniyistic. So even this kind of change, there's no mitzvah; it's only a minig ba'alma. Nevertheless, he has to be in the kaddishas Hashem in front of fellow Jews because we're talking a pahesia, which means in front of fellow Jews. Tosfos actually discusses that we may mean the color of the shoelaces. It may be that the goyim would wear black shoelaces, where Jews would wear white shoelaces. And there's different other possibilities that different other possibilities that we've shown him bring up that the riff brings somewhat different. The Jews would wear black shoelaces, and the goyim would wear red shoelaces. Where the red, there's a certain pritzus in wearing that color. So yeah. Okay, so therefore, so normally it would normally there's an issue of avochaseim, but here b'shas hashmad, a person actually has to be moser nefesh on it.
Is
So the
yeah,
Gemara says,
ten people are
and so that's v'kama pahesia. What do we mean by pahesia in this regard? Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yechon, and pahesia p'chusim ha'asara b'nei Adam means at least 10 people. So the question is, Pshita Yisraelim Ba'inan. Now, there's no question that the 10 people means Jews. Because the pasuk is talking about, the pasuk says, yeah, I should be holy in among the Bnei Yisrael. So therefore, so it's clear that it means 10 Jews. A very interesting thing, by the way, it brings over here in the footnotes from a sefer from one of the Rishonim called Sefer Habatim. The context of that pasuk, the psukim before it, are talking about certain dinim of karbonis. So why all of a sudden over here do we have the issue of chilul Hashem and kiddush Hashem together with that? He says a very interesting idea. The goyim we know would bring karbonis not only of animals but also of people. Hashem is saying I don't want karbonis of people. However, when there's kiddush Hashem and chilul Hashem involved, then that's different. Then in effect, Hashem is saying in that unique case, I do in effect, in a certain sense, want karbonis of people in a case where it's going to make a kiddush Hashem, and we're not doing so would make a chilul Hashem. So that's the connection.
Right.
Anyway, so the Gemara says again, Yisrael. So it's obvious that we need Yisraelim. So that's the definition of B'seich B'nei Yisrael. But Boy Rabbi Yirmiyah, but Rabbi Yirmiyah wonders, does it have to be all Jews? Tishri Yisrael, Nochri Echad Mahu. What if it was nine Goyim, and what if it was nine Jews and one Goyim? And nine Jews and one Goy. Or not just nine and one, Dafka. The Gemara is saying, in other words, even where you almost have a minion, but not quite. So the point is, so that's the question: does the same din still apply?
Two things. Why is it not a bigger Kiddush Hashem if it's in front of 10 goyim?
Because the point is, when it's actually says B'nai Yisrael, Hashem wants there to be a Kiddush Hashem in front of Jews. The fact that there are goyim doesn't matter for that purpose.
And wasn't there an incident that happened in Karnites?
I'm not sure what you're talking about. Let's talk later.
Okay.
Okay. So Tishri Yisrael v'Nochri Echad Mahu. The answer is Toshma, the Toni Rab Yanai, Achur de Rab Chiya Ba'aba, Asya Toich. How do we know the concept of 10? That because we learn Gzeira Shava from the word Toich. By Korach, Hashem tells Moshe, get out of, separate yourselves. He tells Moshe and the Jewish people, separate yourselves from this congregation because I'm about to destroy Korach and his people. Now, Mala Halon Asara, just like over there were 10, because the word Eda means 10. As we learned at the beginning of the Masechta from the Meraglim, where it says that there were 10 bad Meraglim, v'cholu Yisrael, and all the 10 that were there were Jews, because there weren't any Goyim in the Machna. Afkana, sort of v'cholu Yisrael, the same way, it means not only 10, it means that they have to all be Jews. So nine Goyim and one Jew, nine Jews and one Goy would still not be Pahesia for the purpose of that din. There was an interesting discussion among the Rishonim whether in that case, whether the 10 would include women, because on the face of it, for making a minion, women aren't
Not
included.
included.
On the other hand, and
But
after all, they are the Eda of the Meraglim was all men. On the other hand, the fact is women have a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem just as much as men. So therefore,
just really nice.
so maybe they should be included. So yeah, there's a discussion about that point. But in any case, they all 10 have to be Jews. So the Gemara asks, for Esther Pahesia Havoi. Wasn't the case of Esther but Pahesia, meaning it's not that now, meaning in other words, we're not talking about that she's that people are there, that there are 10 Jews in the palace seeing that she's actually having relations with Ahasuerus. But nevertheless, that they knew there were at least 10 Jews who knew that she had been taken to the palace, and that's already considered Pahesia. Why is she not required to go on Mesiras Nefesh for it? And the answer is, and then and the answer is, Omar Abaya Esther Karka Olam Hoysa. So the first answer is Abaya says Esther is considered Karka Olam. It's considered like ground that people step on, meaning in other words, she's passive. She's not doing a Maisa. The Maisa is being done to her, and she's not obligated to go on Mesiras Nefesh for that. Now, Tosfos has a long discussion about that. The first question Tosfos asks is that. Isn't it a matter of Gilui Arayis? She was married to Mordechai, so isn't it so? So isn't it a matter of Gilui Arayis? So why is the Gemara asking Pahesia? It should be asking Mitzad Arayis. So Tosfos, so Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos actually says that a goy having relations with a Jewish woman is not considered, does not aser her. There's no chiyuv misa for that because for that purpose he's considered like a behema. In fact, Tosfos brings, in fact, Rabbeinu Tam brings a practical halacha that would come out from that. Tosfos describes a case. There was a Jewish woman who had shmadzich and had relations with a goy. Later on, this goy became a ger and she did tshuva and now they want to be married. Now, we have a concept called Kashem Sha'asur la'Baal, Kach Asur la'Boyel. This Jewish woman had previously been married to a Jewish husband, apparently. Now, this goy had, now she had shmadzich, she had left her Jewish husband, she had shmadzich, she had had relations with a goy, Now this goy became a ger and wanted to marry her. Apparently, in between, her first husband had died or divorced her or whatever. So now the question is she allowed to marry this goy, now ger? Now, Rabbeinu Tam says yes, because the fact that he had relations with her, now we would say, k'shem she'asur l'baal, kach asur l'boil, she ought to be also to the boil. Rabbeinu Tam says no. The boil over here, being that he's a goy, is considered like a behemah, and therefore he doesn't ask her to her husband, and therefore now when he's a ger, he would be allowed to marry her. Now, Tosfos goes on to bring from Rabbi Yitzchok, Rabbi Mordechai, who disagrees with this. And points out, we find that Esther herself says, "V'chasher avadti," that now, just as I was lost from your household, now I'm going to be lost to you as well, because now I'm going willingly to Ahasuerus, according to what Rabbeinu Tam is saying. She shouldn't be also to Mordechai in the first place. And he goes on and points out other proofs as well. The fact is, the halacha is not like Rabbeinu Tam in that. The fact is that the halacha is, if a Jewish woman has relations, a married Jewish woman has relations with a goy willingly, then she does become also to her husband. If it was unwillingly, then she's not also, unless her husband's a kohen. But if it was willingly, then she becomes also. Tosfos goes on to discuss this whole point about Esther in detail. And one thing is that one thing is we could one point that Tosfos says as we go through the discussion. What do we mean that Esther karka olam havoi? Does it mean specifically by her, or is it in general that any woman who's in a situation like this is considered karka olam? In other words, in general, of course, bia does not require the participation of the woman. It's possible for it to be done against her will. That's what rape is. So the question is, are we saying that in general, women are considered karka olam for this purpose, or is it only Esther because to begin with she was taken to the palace unwillingly.
Does she become not a Jew,
So
like
there,
anymore, or
what?
does she become like already now?
So now
She's
the
already,
question.
oh, she's a Basula?
No, she's not a psula anymore. She was only married to Mordechai. But yeah. Anyway, the point is. So there's a.
And if
There's
she
there, so
becomes
this.
a guy,
What?
if a guy, if it's unwillingly,
If it's unwillingly, then she's still much to her
she's
husband,
still.
unless her husband's a kohen. Yeah. Anyway, so there is quite a bit of discussion. There's quite a bit of discussion about that. There is an interesting point. The Avnei Nezer brings the Zohar actually says that Achashverosh never had relations with Esther at all. Rather, Esther had a sheda, a female shed in her appearance, who would come to Achashverosh whenever he wanted her. So she herself was never defiled by Achashverosh.
Like a
That would be.
copy.
Yeah, so therefore, so that would be why, would, so that would explain, the Avnei Nezer says, that is why, that would explain a reason why the Gemara is not asking that it was a matter of Gilui Arayis, but the fact is, it's Chilul Hashem b'Fahesya, because as far as everybody knew, she was living willingly in the palace, and the answer is that she's Karka Olam.
But then, but if that's all, why did they want us to have to reveal herself and
She had to
so?
reveal herself because in order to save the Jewish people, what do you
No, but
mean?
if there was a copy, then what?
She still, at some point, she had to tell Achashverosh that I'm a Jew and Haman is trying to destroy my people. Tosfos does ask the question, though, when she went willingly to Achashverosh, for avadti, why does she not have Mordechai give her a get? And then that way she won't be also to him, even though she was Mezana Berotzen in between. And
Wasn't she only got married because to Mordechai because of this?
okay, she got married to Mordechai before she was ever taken to the palace. So the answer is, Tosfos says here, and also in Megillah, Tosfos points out, a get requires edim, therefore it would become more public. She didn't, well, the whole point is she can't have it publicized, otherwise she and Mordechai are going to be in trouble with Achashverosh, therefore there was no possibility of a get. Okay, going on, the Gemara says, so again, so that was Abaye's answer, Esther karka olam havoi, whether that applies more generally to all women in this situation, or does it apply only to Esther, that's part of Tosfos's discussion. Rava Omar, Rava gives a different reason. La hanas atzman shiny. It's different when the goyim are doing it for their own hana. Here, Achashverosh was not bringing Esther to the palace because he wanted to make. He knew that she's Jewish and he wants her to break Yiddishkeit. He's doing it for his own personal pleasure. So in that case, even though it's b'fahesya, says Rava, you're not required to be moser nefesh. De'ilai temahochi, and Rava says, after all, if you're not going to say that, if you're going to say that you always have to be moser nefesh, even when they're doing it for hanas atzman, then consider hani kvaki v'dimoniki hechiyavin lahu. How are we able to give the goyim kvaki and dimoniki? So Rashi explains. These are various kinds of brass kalim in which they put coals. They're like in English, it's called a brazier or something like that. Where like this, they have the Persians would worship fire, and on days when they had certain chagas of theirs, they would have fires in their temples, and they would bring them. But they would bring them to the temples not so much to worship Avodah Zarah. Rashi describes they would use it for people to warm up the people who went to these temples, and they would force Jews to give it to them. Now, why are we not moser nefesh to not give it to them? The reason is Elohanan. The reason is because they're just doing it for their own pleasure. They're not doing it as part of their worship of Avodah Zarah. They're just doing it in order to make it more comfortable in their temples, so that the people can go and do their rituals there more comfortably. So therefore, says such a thing as mutter, because it's lahanos atzman, because they're not doing it for the sake of making Jews break mitzvahs and worship Avodah Zarah, but rather they're doing it in order to keep themselves warm. In fact, the Baal HaMor learns from here the halacha that even that when we say that lahanos atzman would be allowed is even when we're talking about things that are related to Avodah Zarah, Gilad Arayis, and Shefichas Damim, because here we're talking about it's related. It's what the Gemara calls soon abizrahu, the outgrowths, the things that have to do with Avodah Zarah. It's not Avodah Zarah directly, but it's pretty closely related. And yet, the Jews do not have to be moisen nefesh on it. So we see that it works that way. So the Gemara says, "Ver az de Rava l'taimei." In fact, Rava is going according to his svara in explaining that way. To Amar Rava, Akum to Amar le'lahai Yisrael. If a goy tells a yid, "Ktoil aspasta b'shabza," cut some grass on Shabbos for shodi lechevisoi and give it to my animals to eat. The Eloi, and if not, katil nalach, then I will kill you. Likto v'loy liktale. The yid should be willing to cut that grass rather than the goy killing him, because that's lahanos atzman. It's not befahesia. He's not doing it to, or maybe it is even befahesia. That's what we're talking about. But he's not doing it to force him to violate Yiddishkeit. He's just doing it for his own pleasure. So therefore, it's not considered chilul Hashem. Now again, according to Tosfos, the yid would be allowed to go on Mesiras Nefesh for it. He just wouldn't be required
right.
to. Tosfos over here, Taka refers to a Gemara at the end of Yevamos, where there was a yid threatens a yid, "You cut this grass for me on Shabbos, and if not, then I'm going to kill you
why
like
does
I
that have
killed
to be
this other
on
yid."
Shabbos?
What?
Why would it have to be nafka on Shabbos?
Because the guy wanted to feed his animals on Shabbos. But
Okay.
anyway, so Tosfos points out that first yid was actually not baki in halacha. Mitzad din, he wouldn't have to be moser nefesh. Anyway, so Rava is saying the same thing over here. On the other hand, if he tells him shodi lanara, but if he tells him cut the grass and throw it in the river, he's obviously not doing it lahanos atzma, because what would he need that for? Likto levele likto, then he should allow himself to be killed rather than cut the grass. My time avurim milsa kaboy, because then he's clearly doing it to force the yid to violate the mitzvah. And therefore, therefore he has a mitzvah. Therefore, the yid has a mitzvah of kiddush Hashem. So, if it's befahesia or it's b'shas gzeres hamalchus, then the yid would have to be moser nefesh on it. Okay. So now the Gemara says, "Bo minei Rav Ami." They asked Rav Ami the question. All this time, we're talking about a yid going on mesiras nefesh. What about ben noyach mitzvah kiddush Hashem or ein mitzvah kiddush Hashem? What about a ben noyach if he's being forced to if people want to force him to violate one of his sheva mitzvahs, is he required to go on mesiras nefesh for it? So the answer is Omar Abaya Toshma. Well, we can prove earlier in the Masechta when we talk about the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach, Sheva Mitzvahs is Zavu Bnei Noach. We said the Goyim were commanded in seven mitzvahs. V'im Isa, if you're going to tell me they have a mitzvah of Mesiras Nefesh, Tmani have them, then you have eight, and we know there's no eight mitzvahs Bnei Noach, so obviously they're not Chayiv in Kiddush Hashem. Omale Rava, but Rava says that's not a proof. Inu v'chol abizrayhu, because when we say the seven means any outgrowths of those. Rashi translates the word abizrayhu with a French word that means anything that translates to anything that has a shaychus to them. So anything that has a shaychus to them. So therefore, so in other words, it has a shaychus. If they tell a goy worship of a desara or we're going to kill you, then kiddush Hashem has a shaychus to that, because it means that. In other words, is he required to be mekadosh Hashem? So therefore, see, it's not a separate mitzvah for them, but maybe it's considered an outgrowth of that mitzvah. In fact, Tosfos says that on the face of it, the question is why. I mean, the whole point of the V'chai Bahem is talking about a yid. If it weren't for the pasuk V'chai Bahem, we'd be chayav to be moser nefesh for any mitzvah. A goya doesn't say V'chai Bahem, so why would we think that he is? Why would he think he is able to be over? And the answer is fakert. V'chai Bahem teaches us we shouldn't think to learn from Ritzeach and Naira Ma'irosa, that we shouldn't think to learn a binyan av from them. So therefore, fakir, by goyim, since they don't have those psukim of Ritzeach and Naira Marasa, maybe the whole concept of Kiddush Hashem doesn't apply to them, and they're allowed to be over when somebody is trying to force them to. So the Gemara says, "My havi Allah." Okay, what's the bottom line? What's the halacha? Omer of Adaba Avra, Ami Bei Rav. They say in the yeshiva of Rav, the Bei Rav can mean the yeshiva of Rav, or it can mean more generally the yeshiva. Here is a proof that a goy is allowed to violate his mitzvahs when it's a matter when he's being forced to. Ksiv, you have the story with Naaman. He comes with Saras. He comes to Elisha. Elisha cures him of his Saras, and now he's so grateful he becomes a Ger Toshav. He says, "From now on, I'm not worshiping Avodah Zarah anymore." But now he says, "Labdover Azay Yislach Hashem Lavdecha." regarding the following thing, may Hashem forgive your servant. When my master, the king of Aram, comes to Beis Rimmon, to his temple of Avodah Zarah, of the Avodah Zarah Rimon, to worship over there, to bow there, and he's leaning on my arm, so then I have to bow as well. Because I can't let him know, in other words, that I gave up Avodah Zarah, then I'm going to be killed. So we see, in other words, so he's asking that Hashem should forgive him for that. Uchtiv, and we see that Elisha tells him, go in peace, meaning gesundheit, do that. The im Issa, now if it's true that a ben noach has a mitzvah of kiddush Hashem that he's not allowed to do, that he's not allowed to be over on his averus even when somebody is forcing him, loy loy malay, then he shouldn't tell him. How could he tell him? Leich l'sholem. After all, he'd be telling him. Fine, he doesn't have to maybe tell him. And maybe Rashi says he doesn't have to tell him that you're doing wrong by that, because echiach techiach is misecha. Teichecha applies to a fellow yid, not to a goy. But still, he can't openly tell him. Go ahead. He should just tell him. I'm not going to tell you one way or the other. Basically. The answer is Hobbitsina Hobbifahesia. The answer is you could say no, because there's a difference between Bitsina and Bafahesia. There weren't 10 Jews over there in this base remain, and we said before, Besoich B'nai Israel. So even if there's a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, it would apply only among Jews, not among Goyim. So therefore, Elisha can tell him Leich L'shalim. That is now this girsa that we have over here is according to Rashi. Tosfos brings a different girsa. So in other words, it comes out, according to Rashi, that if the goy was befahesia, meaning in front of 10 Jews, then in fact he would be chayev to be moser nefesh. Tosfos, on the other hand, brings a girsa and prefers this girsa, that the Gemara is saying, v'im isa, if the goy is mitzvah and kiddush Hashem, le malay ha-betzina, ha-befahesia, then Elisha himself should tell him that there is a difference between betzina and befahesia. He should tell him, you want to know what's going to happen, so I'll tell you. When you're in Beis Rimon and a betzina, then fine, you're not obligated to be Moshe Nefesh. But Befahes, you should know you will be obligated to. The fact that Elisha doesn't make that distinction means that across the board, he's not Chayev in Mesiris Nefesh at all, neither Betzina nor Befahesia. And the Rambam also brings it the same way we just had in Hilchos Malachim, finishing Rambam, that the Rambam paskins that in fact a Ben Noach is not Chayev to be Moshe Nefesh when they're forcing him, Betzina Befahesia. It doesn't make a difference. Similar to Tosfos's Girsa, and in fact the Ran brings from a Yerushalmi that says exactly that. So yeah, so the fact is that they don't have a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. If somebody is forcing them to be over on one of their mitzvahs, then they are allowed to do that, and they're not required to be Moshe Nefesh for it, because the whole concept of Mesiras Nefesh we're saying ultimately applies only to Jews and not to Goyim. So therefore, so if they can't do it willingly. But if they do, if they're doing it unwillingly, if somebody is forcing them, then in fact it is mutter, and it's not considered that they're being over on their Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach for doing that.
One of the halachos I'm believing that the Eibishter.
So they
that,
have
that
they
goes on the, that goes
they
on.
Have a mitzvah. So they have a mitzvah not to worship Avodah Zarah. But yeah, but now we're saying, for example, with Naaman, where he's going to be forced to seemingly worship Avodah Zarah because he's together with the king. So therefore, he has no choice. So therefore, he's allowed to do that. And again, according to Rashi, it would be according to Rashi, it would come out that the Gemara's answer is, but for Hesia, he would be obligated to be Moshe Nefesh. But according to Tosfos and according to the Ran and the Rambam and everybody else, they were saying that. They would say that according to them, he's able to be he's not required to be Moshe Nefesh, whether Betzina or Befahesia. He never has that concept. Whether he's allowed to be Moshe Nefesh in a case like that is another question. But that's as far as him being required to, he's not required to.
Want to raise the pair?
No.